to move on from because they weren't maybe materializing as quickly as we wanted them to, or maybe they weren't dropping into our spirit like we wanted them to. What are those things? I want you to think right now about the things that maybe you used to dream about early on in your Christian walk and why they're not there anymore. And maybe it's something that's happening right now, things that you're thinking and dreaming on right now that you're just not seeing come to fruition. Whether it's you saw yourself preaching in front of people and like, I know you've anointed me to do that, God, and then it hasn't materialized, or teaching the word. Maybe it's, God, you know what? I feel a pressing to be singing or leading in worship or playing an instrument. I know I can do those things, but it didn't materialize. Or maybe and I'm trying to be specific this morning. I feel like the Lord has specific words for specific people this morning. Maybe it's an orphanage. Maybe it's a boys or a girls home that you had a heart for, but you didn't know if that was God or not. And maybe it's a farm. Maybe it's you being an entrepreneur. Maybe there's some things that are in your heart, and maybe you just don't think that they're in your spirit, and so that they're not of God this morning. And so I want to speak to some of those things this morning, because there's some things that say, maybe you read the scripture to where you read it and you thought, I want to walk in a room and have my shadow fall on somebody and they get up out of a wheelchair. Okay? Maybe that's been in your heart before, and because time and the world has moved on, maybe you just lost that and said, well, maybe that's not what God wants for me. I feel like the Lord is telling us, me this morning, that that is not the case. That your heart's desires matter to Him. And He's going to show us this morning in His Word that the things that you sat up and dreamed about and thought about, they have not went anywhere. You've stopped asking for them. You've stopped knocking for them. You stopped searching for them. But the good news is you can start knocking on that door again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's happened to me. You know, God chastised me on this week. There was a time that I saw myself walking on other soils and speaking to, you know, large amounts of people. And I've done that. But I'm not doing it right now. And I've stopped knocking and asking for those opportunities. There was a time in my life to where I sought out these words of not, man. It was, you want to talk about stretching yourself and getting weird being a 20-year-old kid and God telling you, hey, man, you tell that girl right there that her sister's going to be okay. Finding out that she was in just a terrible car wreck and had been in ICU for months, and that girl breaking down and praying to the Lord right there in a parking lot. You talk about telling people, hey man, you're not going to end up drunk like your dad is, and not knowing who this person is. Now you tell me why I'm not searching out those things and seeking those things, and why they're not happening right now. It's because I'm not searching. It's because I'm not knocking for them. And so often I heard Damon preach a sermon a few weeks, I don't know when it was, God, that man, anyways, he preached a sermon about we relate more to Adam than we do to Jesus for whatever reason. And that's not what, see, there's a New Testament, there's a Jesus for a reason, because it didn't work the first time out, okay? Adam, see, we relate to Adam because Adam made mistakes. He screwed up, and that's like us. We're always going to, it's just sin. Sin's gotten in the way, and, you know, did my best, brother, and you know, it's okay because, you know, people screw up in the Bible all the time. But, guys, just like springing ahead is no longer an excuse because you have a cell phone that keeps up with the time, saying that you're like Adam is no longer an excuse because there's a Jesus that died on the cross so that you didn't have to go through the same thing that Adam went through. But we identify with Adam because people hurt us and the world happens. And we identify with him more because, you know what, that's just more like me and I'm not Jesus. Guys, I'm telling you this morning that is not a good enough excuse anymore. There is more required out of me than to say, I'm trying. Because that's not it. And I'm going to tell you, God messed with me all morning during worship. And I felt like he told me to do this publicly. And so, God, with your permission and stepping out on you, I want to tell you this morning, this is, God messed me up looking at you this morning, okay? I want to tell you that the experiences and the scars you have and the hurt that you have and the pain that you have in your heart because of these relationships that you've seen before you and that you've had, it's made you draw away and not trust things. I'm telling you right now that your relationship with Jesus Christ is not going to end up like anyone else's relationship that you've seen on this planet. You can trust Him, and you need to know that. You can trust to walk in Him, and you won't be hurt. You won't be scarred. Your heart can be opened again, and that stuff can be scraped away. I want you to know that this morning. And I felt like God told me to tell you that in front of everybody, and we're going to pray for you right now. And church, stretch your hands to this child right now. Mama, put your arms on that child right now, and we are going to pray for you because you need to know this. God said we're stopping the service so that you know that His love is as real as anything that you'll ever feel in your life, and you can open up to that. So God, we come to you this morning, and I'm thankful that you will stop an entire church service for a child of you, God, a child of God, and we declare that that's who we are, God, and that the hurt and the pains that the world bring us, God, those no longer exist in our life. Our heart, God, we open it up to you this morning, and I declare that God will start to share intimate thoughts with you and details about you and your life and where you're going, and I declare that God will start to share with you His perfect and pure love and show you that it's not selfish, it's not a shame to be with you, but it is always open and always available. And God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to pour into her in her sleep, God, that as she sleeps at night, you would download heaven into her heart, God. That you would download a perfect love into her heart. In the name of Jesus, we declare these things, and I declare wholeness, God. I declare, God, that a heart that feels and loves, Father, and feels and loves in your perfect love, Father, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you don't have to walk in the things that the first Adam walked in. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, he has messed me up this morning. He jacked me up, guys, and I don't apologize for it. Okay? If I'm emotional this morning, it's because I'm a child of God. But so often, guys, we measure ourselves with this wrong stick. We use the wrong stick to measure ourselves with. I'll be out with my wife, and I'll see some guy that's uglier than me, which is hard to imagine, okay? And I'll see a guy maybe that's being a bigger jerk than I am, and I'll kind of make a joke. I say, baby, it could be worse. It could be that guy. And I'm joking. But guys, we do that in our life so often. Well, I'm better than him. I could be worse. I could be this guy. That is not your measuring stick. Your measuring stick is not Adam. It is perfection. I should be looking at guys that are better than me and said, you know what, I could be that guy. And I'm going to start doing it. We should strive for perfection so that we hit excellence. We should strive for perfection. It might not be attainable so that we can achieve excellence. We say that in the physical. We say it at work. We say it in athletics. But why do we not say it when it comes to the gospel? With our relationship, I'm going to strive for perfection, Lord. And if I hit it, awesome. But if not, we can settle for excellence, not average. Not good enough, not better than that guy, because I don't measure myself better than that guy. I have wrestlers come to me all the time, well, I'm better than him, coach. Well, great. What about that one? What about that one? What about this guy up here? Why are we not striving for that? It's because we've learned to settle because things didn't happen the way that we thought they would happen, and it hurts us, and it piles up, and it piles up, and it piles up, and we stop believing. We stop believing that things are going to happen. So we're going to look at some scripture this morning, a couple of different sets. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And so you want to know why these things aren't happening. You want to know why God's not giving you what you've asked for. You want to know how to make it happen. This is Jesus. These are the red letters talking to you this morning. We'll start, on the second part of verse 22. Jesus says, have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it does not doubt in his heart, so you have to believe fully, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all the things that you pray and ask for, All the things that you pray and you ask for, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Believe that you have received them and you will have them. And for whatever reason, there's a tag on to the end of this that we like to leave off. But it says, and whenever you stand praying, so he's kind of giving you some instructions. Go ahead and stand up when you declare these things. He says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you of your wrongdoing. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you for your wrongdoing. It doesn't say go and ask for forgiveness for your sins, because that's really easy. We've made that easy in life with the phrase, my bad. I'm just a sinner, brother. You know, it's my guy. I need to ask for your forgiveness. Made a mistake. It's easy to do that. It's hard to do the forgiving part, because we want to hold on to that. We want to hold on, because I'd rather be angry and have something on you than to actually forgive you and move on, which is what our Father tells us to do. You want to see things happen, number one, you got to believe in them. I think we do that. I think when we pray for healing, we do. I think we believe, hey, man, God's going to come down and he's taking this cancer away, because we've seen it happen in this house. Guys, it's not a weird thing. We've seen it happen in here. We have watched cancer leave in this home. And you know what? We didn't just pray for it one time and it happened either, okay? So I want you to hang on to that for a second. But if you have too much pride, if you have too much haughtiness, and you have too much of whatever it is to forgive somebody of something, even when they haven't asked for forgiveness, don't anticipate things to happen for you. That mountain's not going anywhere. God is telling us right here, he says, you've got to get in right position. You've got to align yourself correctly when you ask for things like this. You want a mountain moved, you need to align yourself correctly. If there's things that you've missed, it may be because of us, guys. I'm sorry, but, you know, we won't talk about doctrine. I'm not a believer that, you know, if it's God's will, then that's going to happen, because there's too many times in Scripture where he says, your faith has made you whole. There's too many times in Scripture where people cause him to do something different, like the woman with the issue of blood. She caused him to turn around and say, what's going on? Okay, I refuse to believe that God's just going to say, poof, here's your farm. You've won the lottery. Now turn it into a farm that helps orphan children eat. You know, that can happen. I'm not telling you that God doesn't produce those miracles, but I'm also telling you that God says throughout his Scripture, you got to get up off your tail and do some things correctly. Okay, a lot of these things rely on us. And I'm telling you right now, if there's things you're believing for, you need to make sure that your heart is pure. You need to make sure that you don't have aught in your heart against somebody. And that's hard to do, guys, because there's people that have hurt you. Okay? And it's easy for us to say, well, someone out in the world, they've hurt us, and, you know, I can forgive them because they don't know better. Had that happen to me this year, and Russell said, there's a dude that acted like a complete idiot. I can forgive that guy because he's not a believer. It's hard when it's somebody within your church body or someone that professes to be a believer that's got some problems in their life right now, or got some anger, or got whatever it is. It's harder to forgive them. Well, by God, they ought to be doing this, because, I mean, they say that they're a believer, and I expect more out of them. Don't expect more out of them than what you expect out of yourself. God tells you don't worry about them. He says forgive them anyway. Does he not say that if a man slaps you in the face to turn the other cheek? Well, I'm a man, and, you know, Old Testament says eye for an eye. Well, the New Testament, what Jesus says, turn the other cheek. That's hard to hear. That's hard to hear, because that's not within the fleshly part of me. Okay, the fleshly part of me says, you won't get me, I'm going to get you right back, sucker. You hit me in the face, I'm tagging you back. And our Lord and Savior tells us, no, man, that ain't it. That ain't it, chief. Okay, turn the other cheek. Okay, turn the other cheek. He says, you know what? If someone comes up and asks you for your coat, don't forget to offer them your shirt, too. I got to take care of mine. I got to take care of myself and my family and my kids. And we drive by that guy that's standing out on the road. Maybe he is evil, and that's what he does for a living. And he makes thousands of dollars a day asking for your change. I didn't find that scripture where it says don't give to him. I didn't see that. It says give it to him anyway. He asked you for it, give it to him. That's what godly people do. Give it to him. Give him $5. What's worse that can happen? Maybe that's the $5 when he goes to hand it in. at the liquor store, when he goes to hand it in to do something, something just strikes him. Because your money is different than everyone else's money. Because the anointing that's within you, because you've been knocking and searching and asking God to change you, there's something different and he can't just give it away. He can't spend it because something grabs him. Maybe he sees the in God we trust and goes, oh my God, I haven't been trusted in God. And he hits his knees right there and becomes saved. What if? Why not? Why not? Because we're not asking. We're not searching. We're not seeking for those things. And so God tells us all you got to do is believe and be in right standing and it's going to happen. Guys, I'm here to tell you I have believed for things. I have forgiven people and been as close to in right standing as I could possibly be. And it still not happened. And it still doesn't happen. Now what? Now what? Well, Scripture said if I believe. You just told me that if I believe and I'm right, then this is going to change. The good news is God doesn't leave us hanging. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. It's more red letters. So this is Jesus talking. You can't misconstrue this. We'll read this whole passage for us. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine is on a journey and he's come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. He may answer the door from the inside and say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. And then Jesus says, I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So he uses this parable to teach us, and then he just continues on, I guess, because he saw somebody and said, well, this went over his head, so let me really break it down for you. And in verse 9, he says, so I say to you, keep asking. Keep asking. Doesn't say how many times. I know that you forgive people 70 times 7, right? But he doesn't give a time limit. He says, keep asking, and it will be given unto you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened unto you. Keep asking, and keep searching, and keep knocking, and eventually the door will be opened unto you. And he doesn't give you a time frame. It took Noah how long to see rain for the first time? A long time, guys. Some people say it was 80 years after he was told to build a boat. And people were going, what are you doing? It took him 80 years to see what God told him was coming, what he was asking for. It may not happen tomorrow. So you're going to stop knocking? That's on us. That's not on him. He tells you, hey, look, ask and it'll be given unto you. But if it's not given unto you right then, you keep knocking. We've all got those friends who are very persistent. We might not even like them. We might even call them friends. We got people that we know that are just persistent. And they nag you. And sometimes you give them something to get them to go away. Jesus is telling you he wants you to be that guy. He absolutely wants you to be that guy. Okay? And as I'm reading this stuff and I'm praying last night, God brings me to, you know, something that happened to me just a couple of months ago, and it's the perfect analogy, oddly enough, how Jesus works that out. And so my wrestling team is going to the sectional tournament, and we get off the bus, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. We wrestle. We do more before 9 a.m. than the rest of you guys do all day. Okay, we're up early, and we're scrapping. And so we get off this bus at this high school, and we go to go in the main entrance, which is where people tend to go in. And there's a lady at the main entrance, and there's normal people walking in the door, and here comes the wrestling team of about 20, and she goes, whoa, hey, slow down there. You guys can't come in right here. And we're like, well, oddly enough, we are scheduled to be in this room today, and I've been to this school before, and I know where we're supposed to weigh in. It's literally on the other side of this door. She goes, no, you've got to go downstairs. All the wrestling teams go in downstairs. Now, I've been here before. I know what happens when we go downstairs. I'm like, ma'am, I appreciate you. Number one, you know, you give people some power, you can find out who they really are, by the way, because this lady really, she was like, she did her job, you know. And pray for her, and God bless her for that. She was, whew. Anyways, so I know what's going to happen, and she just doesn't budge. So I can't lose my witness in front of her. I said, ma'am, we'll go down to that door and we may be right back up, okay? We'll see you in a second. So we trudged down this long walkway to the depths of this gymnasium, right? And we get to the door and it's locked, just like I knew it would be, okay? And, you know, so here we are. And I don't, you might not know me, but I'm my patience thing. I don't even pray for it because I don't want to be tested. I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest. I don't pray for it because I know I'm going to get opportunities. And so I get a little bit red, right? And in the most sarcastic, and I'm just being honest with you. I'm sharing you what happened, okay? In the most jerky way, our kids are half asleep. We're all asleep. And I'm angry. And I don't, and it's loud too. I'm trying to take care of this microphone so no one gets mad at me. And so it's loud. And so then, like, that's just not enough. So I two-hand this thing, okay? And I don't slow down because I can do that for a long time. I've been playing the drums. And so I don't, and it's loud. And it's do-ga-do-ga-do-ga-do-ga-do-ga. And it's just super loud. Well, for whatever reason, my kids, they start waking up a little bit. And as this is going on, they, like, start adding into it. They're like, whoo, ha. And they start, like, getting, you know, some kids making crow noises. Ah. And I'm just like, so we start having a good time. And I'm telling you right now, it was like walking around the walls of Jericho type loud, okay? Well, eventually, someone from the gymnasium comes down to the basement. It's like a group of four, and you just see them peek out. You know, and it's like this odd, and then it's like a whole group comes down, and they don't open the door because they like what's going on. They're like, and they're all dancing around with us. But eventually, the door gets opened, okay? And so this is what God shows me in this. Eventually, the door gets opened. And now our countenance has changed. We went from being angry to being happy, right, because I had some people around me. All right, that saw that we had a need and they were going to help me achieve this need. But see, we weren't going anywhere because we had business on the inside of this building. There were business that we needed to attend to. And so we weren't going to stop knocking until the door was opened for us. We weren't going to stop knocking until the door was opened for us because we had business to get to. Is your business worth knocking on a door for? We'll do it in a physical. I got to have this. Knock, 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 knock. Hey, I'm here. But in the spiritual, that knock tends to get quiet when it doesn't happen early because we think that no one's going to answer the door, that no one's on the other side. I can't see anybody through these double doors. There's no one there. There's got to be somebody that can hear me in there. So I'm going to keep knocking. But we'll go to the house spiritually and say, God, I feel like I want this word of knowledge. I want to own an orphanage. And we start out knocking. And then after 30 seconds, nobody shows up. Maybe they're not home. Okay, well, I don't guess they're here. I'm moving on. When the scripture clearly tells us, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, because I have business for you on the other side of this door. You're supposed to be on the other side. I have preordained, predestined the fact that I have things open and available to you. You know you're supposed to be here, so you knock until the door's opened. Guys, I'm telling you, don't quit on the things that you know you've heard from the Lord, because you have a purpose. There is business for you, and you don't stop knocking until the door gets opened up unto you. I know that there's people in here that's had dreams and visions of doing great things. Don't stop knocking, Eric. Don't stop knocking, because all those things that you think, man, that would be neat to do, that ain't you. That's not your fleshly man going, yeah, man, I'd love to spend some of my money on some stuff. That is Jesus saying, I got this for you. Knock on the door. I know how you are, man. Jess will tell me, you frugal, man. That's good. That's why you got that nice house. So for you to think, man, I got to spend some of my resources, that's not coming from you. That's coming from the Lord. That's being birthed. So you don't stop knocking, man, because there's good stuff on the inside of you. And so if this isn't enough, God brings me to probably one of my favorite New Testament stories in Matthew chapter 15. It's one of my favorite stories because I identify with this woman. Jesus is leaving. He's heading to another place, right? And we're starting verse 21, I guess, Matthew 15, 21. He says, and when Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started crying out. And she said, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon. Yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, please send her away because she cries out after. So she knocked on the door. Jesus, I need something. She may have saw him through those double doors, those clear glass double doors, and walk around the hall. How many of us would have walked away? Apparently he don't want me here. But she had something that she needed that was on the other side of that door. So she found somebody else that was walking around and said, boys, come here. Please tell him. I got some business with him. Go get him. And they're instructed not to let her in the door like that lady was instructed not to let me in the door, right? And so she don't let him in the door. But eventually, there's enough pounding. And I say, man, will you please just tell her to leave? Or what do you want me to do? Because she's starting to get on my nerves. And they probably weren't nice to her. They're probably like, listen, woman, you ain't no business with this guy. You just this low. You're not even from Israel. You're not the children of God. Will you please just go away? And she doesn't stop. She keeps knocking. She keeps knocking. And he replied to her after they had asked him. He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not in this, okay? This doesn't pertain to you. So he comes to the door and says, yeah, you can't come in here. You're not allowed. And shuts the door. How many of us leave and say, well, it must not be his will. I guess God doesn't want me to do that. Not this lady. She keeps knocking. And she comes in and she kneels down before him. And she says, Lord, please help me. And he answered. So it's the third time. Okay, she gets in front of him, gets on her knees, embarrasses herself and says, God, please help me. Help me. And his response is, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. See, what I have is not for you, is what he says. It's for someone else, and it would be wrong for me to give you what was... This is Jesus talking to her. This is not a man. It's Jesus. And she... I get that, God. I get that. And her response is priceless. It says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. He didn't speak to her. His disciples turned her away. He told them to tell her something else. Told her she was not good enough. Called her a dog. Okay? Called her a dog. And she didn't go anywhere because she had business on the other side of the door. She's had business on the other side of the door. And then Jesus, Jesus knew what he was doing, but his response is, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. You know what? I dig you, chick. Whatever you want, have it. Now you tell me right now that was Jesus just playing games. That what he says, woman, your faith is great. Not yep, you knew it. I was tricking you the whole time. Let me hook you up. The entire time she's, and that touches his heart. He wants to be wanted. Okay? I want you to want me. That's a great song because, man, that's what we want and that's what the Father wants. He wants you to want him, okay? It's real simple. How much are we willing to go? Are we willing to just keep walking with this guy further and further away from home? Because that's what she's doing because he hasn't slowed down. He's still on his merry way to Tyre and Sidon. And so she just keeps going with him and she goes further and further away from where she thinks she's supposed to be. Her daughter's in trouble and she's over there and she keeps going this way. How many of us won't leave something that we want to protect to go get the thing that can protect it? Oh, I know I'm supposed to be here. No, because if you stay here with her, she's going to die. If you stay with your daughter, which is what you think, she's going to die. If you don't go get the man of God, if you don't go through Jesus, if you don't get out of your comfort zone and go and get God, she's going to die. If you don't start knocking again, guys, that thing that you're believing in, if you don't start seeking again, if you don't start knocking again. And so Jesus finally turns to her and says, listen, whatever you want. But so often the sound of our knock gets drowned out by the world. listen, I'd love to be able to go doing this, but if I do, then I won't spend as much time at work. And I got to be at work because I'm a good employee, and I got to make sure that I'm there, and I can't spend as much time with over this. That's not how you made it to where you made it, is it? By serving it. You know what? When you knock and you seek, that's when God opens up countries to you. You know, when you're willing to leave something that you know needs you to get away from it and say, listen, I got to keep knocking so I can get that. When you're willing to walk away from something and continue to knock, even after you've been shut down over and over again. Guys, we see it in the physical all the time. People starting companies in their garages and then making billions of dollars. We see it in athletics all the time. Hey, man, you keep grinding. Put yourself through the fire. You keep working, and good things are going to happen to you. God wants us to keep knocking on the door. God wants us to keep searching. He wants us to keep looking for those things that He's dropped in our spirit. Even if He didn't drop it, if it's something that you want and that's your heart's desire, He tells you to pray for it. He'll give it to you is what He says. All you got to do is keep. And so, can we cut off the house lights real quick? I want to show you guys a video, okay, that kind of spoke to me, and we're gonna move on to the next part of the service, right? We're going to move on to the next part of the service after we watch this. But this thing, I've shown it to my wrestlers before. I've shown it to athletes before. And there's things that, you know, I think there's some truth out of this. And I want you to pay attention to it. And I'll stop, you know, building it up. Because, you know, if you make sense, you build something up too big, then, like, people are like, well, it wasn't that good. Okay? But I want you to listen to the words. It's not about the visual. It's really about the audio, okay?
A young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money, and so he went to this guru, right?
Crank that up.
He told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. He liked the beach. I said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow, 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on the suit. The old man grabs his hand, said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. When he walks out to the water, it goes waist deep. So he like, this guy crazy. I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. But the old man said, I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, hold him down. Just before my man was about to pass out, he raised him up. He said, I got a question for you. He said, when you were underwater, what did you want to do? He said, I wanted to breathe. He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want to party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool.
Only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. Are you hearing me? You don't count the cost on this one. You don't count the cost on this one. You just do what you got to do on this one. And then you look back when it's all over and you see the reward. You look back and you see the accomplishment. You don't count it. You just look back and you see that you succeeded. So what I'm telling you is, you can't count the cost. Because if you count the cost and you see how much it costs, you might quit. You might give up. So you got to go in knowing that I don't count the cost. Listen to me. You don't count how many breaths you take. You don't count it. You get to a point where you don't count it. You just do whatever it takes to get whatever you want.
Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. I didn't say that story. I could have told you that story, but I couldn't have told it like that. I couldn't have made you feel the same way that video did, which is why we watched the thing. But he's right. You don't count the breaths that you take. You just take as many as you need. Don't count the cost to get what you want. Just do what it takes to get it done. And we look, go ahead, stand to your feet. We do this in the physical world so often. We do whatever it takes to make sure that we sell enough handlebars. And by God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as our pastor, which I am not, by the way, if you're visiting, I pray in the name of Jesus that our pastor and that company, I think they took 400 handlebars down to Daytona. I pray that they sell 800 and have to ship the rest of them over. In Jesus' name, I declare. God, pray blessings on that business. But listen, your vision may be the thing that does heal somebody one day. Your vision, the things that you see, may be the thing that sets a captive free at some point in time. It's worth not counting the cost. It's worth continuing to knock when you see no one inside the building. It's worth continuing to knock because you know you have business somewhere else. You have to be intentional about this to make it happen. The lottery is the worst thing that's happened to us as Christians because we feel like we just get this unexpected gift. And that's not the way the world works. It's not the way the Lord works. He asked that woman to continue to follow Him. He didn't even say a word to her. And she continued to follow Him. She continued to knock. She continued to press Him for the issue. So this morning, what is it that you stopped pressing the issue for? What vision do you have that you know that you know that you know is what you're meant to do? I'm telling you right now, it's not just some random thing that you thought up. It's not just you laying in bed at night, eating weird food, and then having a weird dream. It's what's on the inside of you. And if it's on the inside of you, and you were created by our Lord God, then guess what? He put it on the inside of you. And so it's worth knocking for when no one's at the door. It's worth saying, man, please come to the door. Please come to the door. Please come to the door. So this morning is a morning I want you to reset your focus on those things. Your job will be there tomorrow, guys. Okay? And if it's not, God will find you another one. Okay? It's going to be there. Reset your focus on the things of the Lord that you know are good and on the inside of you. So this morning, as we play whatever song we're playing, guys, you don't have to come to this altar. There's nothing magical about it, but it's a knock. Come and knock. Come and seek and come and ask and just test Him. Just test Him. It's not for a week. It could be for 80 years, but you test the Lord and you will find out that He is faithful. So God, we come to You this morning. We're thankful for this meeting. We're thankful for this opportunity. And I'm thankful that You have reinvigorated me to keep knocking. I am thankful for me, God, and for no one else. I am thankful that I'm going to start to knock, Father God, and see those things that You've planted on the inside of me, Father. I pray that You would awaken and You would quicken the spirit of the people that are in this house this morning, God. The Victory Fellowship crowd, the visitors, God, because these are the people that will change this area. These are the people, Father God, whose knocks and visions can release heaven and release healing. So in Jesus' name, God, we give it to You this morning, Lord, and we just knock, God. If you need to come, come on. If you need to reinvigorate your vision, come do it. Okay? It's not about coming to this altar, but I'm telling you right now, making a physical declaration and a physical move will move you in the spiritual. You got to believe that. See, you got to believe. We done told you, you've got to believe, because if you don't believe, then the rest of it doesn't happen. If you've got people that you've got to forgive in your life this morning, come forgive them. And then call them later if they're not here. Because God can't move if we're not in right alignment. And if you've just got to come knock, because you hadn't knocked in a while, come knock.